whatever, I have found LinkedIn to be the most beneficial from both a brand building point of view and an advertising point of view. I'm talking about business to business, not business to consumer. So that's me. I'll just run through the training objectives for today's session. First one is describe what the hell LinkedIn is without using the term social media. Social media is one of those buzzwords that everyone talks about but really can't define. So I'm going to attempt to define what LinkedIn is without using those words. I'll list 10 benefits of being a LinkedIn member. Now remember that LinkedIn membership is free. And I'd say over 95% of members of LinkedIn have a free account, not a paid account. Talk about maximising your findability in LinkedIn and why you'd want to do that. List 5 ways to grow your LinkedIn network. We'll talk about searching for potential contacts and companies by filtering by geographic and demographic characteristics. The beauty of LinkedIn from a business point of view is you can have laser-like targeting on certain business demographics. So if your target market, for example, is female architects between the ages of 35 and 65 within 10 kilometres of 4005 postcode, you can do it on LinkedIn. You cannot do that in any other form of advertising that I'm aware of. You can't do it in Facebook because you don't really know what their occupation is. You can't do it with Google AdWords. You can't do it with Facebook advertising. It's very hard to do it with direct mail, but with LinkedIn, you can have laser-like targeting. And I'll actually do a live ad and show you how that works. I'll explain how LinkedIn can be used to grow a prospect or resource database. I'll actually create a LinkedIn advertising advertisement, including image, headline, and body copy. And we'll see how we can set daily budgets, cost per click, and demographic targets. Now, the thing with LinkedIn advertising, your starting price is about $10 per day. That's pretty damn cheap. $10 per day with laser-like focus to the people you're trying to reach. Very, very cost-effective marketing. Who's a member of LinkedIn? Who isn't on LinkedIn? Who isn't? Probably a better... Okay, well, hopefully I'll convert you today. These are different ways of describing LinkedIn. LinkedIn initially was set up as like a resume repository for people to find work, find employees. So think of it as a dating site for resumes and potential employers. It's also a bit like having virtual drinks at an industry conference. You know, you go to these big conferences and the real work gets done in the networking sessions. It's a bit like that. It's an online business networking enabler. It's also a very good source of personal and professional due diligence data. So if you're about to do business with somebody or some company, you can jump into LinkedIn and do a bit of a background check on who they are, who they've worked for, what these companies are like, how many employees they've got, what their education is, all that sort of stuff. Very useful if you're about to have a meeting with someone that you've never met before. Jump into LinkedIn, do a bit of background research, and you've got some common ground to start a conversation with. Very powerful. You can also think of LinkedIn as a living resume and a monument to your professional achievements. Now, I've only been active in LinkedIn since about October, November last year. In that time, I've been offered 3 jobs just based on my LinkedIn profile. I didn't apply for them. It was headhunters trawling through the LinkedIn resumes, looking for certain keywords and profiles, and then contacting them. Really, really powerful stuff. Guys, Lantern, like by the name of Reid Hoffman, launched in 2003. So it's been around for quite a few years. A lot of people don't appreciate that, but it is growing logarithmically. Today, it is worth over $6.8 billion on the American Stock Exchange, and that's the code there. I think it actually went to market early this year. That's worth $6.8 billion. It's now got over 100 million members, 2 million of whom are resident in Australia. and it's growing at more than one new member per second. I think the latest stuff I've read is like two people per second throughout the world are joining LinkedIn. Over 63% of LinkedIn members have at least a bachelor's degree. So unlike Facebook, most of these people can read and write. So yeah, really interesting demographic. Median household income of over $96,000 US. And if you want some more facts and figures, you can click on that link when you get the slide. So really good demographics from a business to business point of view. Not so much from a business to consumer point of view, but very good for business to business. 10 benefits of joining quickly. Find a new job. It was originally designed about job seeking. If you're in the market for a new employer, join LinkedIn. They'll find you. If you're looking for people, you can advertise jobs or offer jobs directly to people of interest. And that's what happened to me. I had the talent manager for Foxtel in Sydney find me based on my profile and send me an email saying, hey John, we've got this job as IP, what was it, senior product manager for IPTV, Foxtel based in Rye, are you interested? And I said no, because it's not in Brisbane. But that's what happens every day. One of my SEO students about 3 weeks ago was complaining to me that her boss expects her to cold call. She works for an IT company. She's 22, single and blonde. And I said, are you on LinkedIn? She said, yes, but I'm not doing much. I said, well, you need to try to connect with every IT manager in Brisbane. Now, if I'm an IT manager working in Brisbane and a 22-year-old single blonde tries to connect with me, guess what? I'll say yes and I'll be there in a heartbeat. So what she does now, instead of cold calling, is she sends an email to these people saying, hey, look, I'm going to be, you know, at Milton next week. Would you like to catch up for a coffee? And 9 times out of 10, they say yes. Really, really powerful stuff without the cold calling. As with Facebook and a few other sites, you can promote events and functions. You can also get really good expert advice and recommendations for free. There's a squillion groups on LinkedIn that cover all sorts of different topics. So if you're interested in, you know, the marketing of healthcare products in Canada, guess what? There's probably a group for it. There's groups of all sorts of weird and wacky people. There's groups based on location. Like I'm a member of a lot of Brisbane-based groups. And the way I joined those, or found them, was I went to the groups and I did a search on Brisbane and I joined all these Brisbane networking groups. And then started connecting to their members to grow my database. A friend of mine in Sydney has recently drafted a book about low-cost marketing. And the way he got the content for that book is he joined a couple of marketing groups saying, hey, look, I'm putting together a book about best low-cost marketing techniques, you know, share your experiences. And within about 3 weeks, he had enough content from other people to write a book. If you're after product recommendations, go onto the groups. As with Facebook, you can build a brand by contributing to groups. Now, this stuff takes time, so it's important that you're very selective with the groups you join, but once you get into some groups, you've got the opportunity to contribute to that group, and as a result, build your own personal brand and your company's brand. As I mentioned at the intro, you can advertise products and services with laser-like precision. I don't know of anything more specific than LinkedIn. You can find and get introduced to people of interest. So, for example, if I'm trying to target, I don't know, web designers who work for mining companies for whatever reason, I can connect with web designers in Brisbane and then look at their contacts based on certain demographics like mining companies, and then ask for an introduction to those end users. You can promote other online media through status updates. It's a bit like the Facebook wall. Whenever you write something, it appears on your page, and other people, when they log in, see your status updates. You can promote, you know, your website. You can actually feed Twitter into your LinkedIn account. Now, the trick these days in terms of saving time is to use RSS for everything. So let's say you start with a blog here, company blog, company website, RSS feeds to your Twitter account, RSS feed to your LinkedIn account and probably to Facebook. The idea is that you publish once, distribute many, and it's pretty easy to set up. You can communicate and collaborate with people with similar interests all around the world. Very powerful. And another way of looking at it is that you can keep and maintain a portable online contacts directory and resume. Now, I've got something like 1,965 contacts in my LinkedIn account. I was trying to reach 2,000 before today, right? That contact list is gold. Now, I can go into that and I can export it to an Excel file and do whatever I like with it. As they say, the money's in the list. Maximising the findability of your LinkedIn profile. Rule one, complete your profile. Use lots of unique phrases and keywords in your profile. And you can go back to day dot. Go back to high school if you like. And go through, keep adding position, adding keywords, adding content, because that will help people find you. I'll just show you my LinkedIn profile. Now, my LinkedIn page is a lot different to most people, so I broke it on the weekend. Okay, so pretty basic. Photo, title, current, past, whatever. So it's got, as I say, it's an online resume. And the trick is to have lots of keywords in your past jobs so people can find you. Well, look, to me, people don't do businesses with companies. They happen to do business with people who work for companies. I think LinkedIn's tagline is relationships matter. Yeah. And it's very, very true. But yet, you can have company pages in LinkedIn, but it's all about people.
But if you joined a group, for example, and you started promoting your business,
Yep. Have
you sort of open about...
It depends on the group. My advice is be very, very subtle. Mm-hmm. And I'll show you a little experiment I did last week for this presentation, and that might help a bit. It's about being professional. You can push products and services, but you need to be smart about how you do it. And it's as simple as someone connects to you, you say, thank you very much for connecting with me. Would you be interested in joining my mailing list? Or would you like me to post you an information pack about what we do? And that's fair and reasonable. That's not sort of spammy. You've got that personal relationship. You know, can I ask any more information about our company? And that works quite well. So, yeah, complete your profile. Go back to day dot. Think about it as an online resume. It is a public document. Treat it as such. Be careful with what you share. Now, by default, with your LinkedIn profile, I think it displays your full date of birth, marital status, and whatever contact details you put in there. Good idea to turn off the date of birth or just put the date. Because in terms of, identity theft, the date of birth is gold, full date of birth. So turn that off.
You're sharing a lot of information about yourself.
Sorry?
You're sharing a lot of information about yourself.
Yeah, and that's fine. It's information that you're happy to share. So as long as you know the world, plus Google can see it all, write it to that. Yeah, it can be quite scary. Have a professional headshot picture taken. Don't be tempted just to use a company logo or an avatar. It is about people. And the people who don't have a photo do not make a lot of friends on LinkedIn. Have a photo. Look, we're all ugly. Get over it. Put your photo there. Join some groups of interest, as I said. There's groups for everything. Now, start with Brisbane. Do a search on groups in Brisbane and join them. Listen to the conversation. Connect with other people. Get some recommendations. As with resumes, paper resumes, you'll have references. You can ask for references with your LinkedIn profile. And the way you do that is connect with people that you need to work with and swap recommendations. Pretty easy. Five ways to grow your network. First way, and this is the easiest way, is to open your email address book to LinkedIn. But be very, very careful because you might send connections to people with whom you no longer want to have a relationship. Now, part of the import process is that you're given the chance to turn certain people off and not send them connection requests. But in terms of bang for buck and time savings, you can open up your Gmail, Outlook, whatever, to LinkedIn, spurt it all up, click on the ones you want to connect with, and it just sends off all the invitations. And that's how LinkedIn has grown so quickly, because what happens is people start opening their address book, and the recipients start to get all these emails saying, you know, connect with me on LinkedIn. What the hell is this LinkedIn? Oh, I better get myself an account. And that's how it's grown so quickly and exponentially. Like, if you started to get 5 connection requests in a week, you'd probably start thinking, maybe I should get onto this thing. And that's exactly what's happened. So open your email address book. Connect your colleagues, past and present. So when you're setting up your profiles, you'll put your company. Now, if you work for, you know, have worked for large companies, like if you sacked Shell for Coles in 1983 and put Coles as one of your employers, you're going to find a lot of people in Coles that you can potentially connect to. Some of the connections I've made go back 30 years. Like, I connected to a guy in Melbourne who's now a lawyer, who I used to work with in the Navy in 1977. Hadn't talked to him in 30 years, and he's now a connection. So you can go back to your past, which can be a good and a good bad thing. You can connect with classmates. So part of your resume is the institutions you've attended, be it TAFE or university or whatever. You put in the qualifications that you gained, the years, and then you can find other people who attended that institution and connect with them. Something that I do is I connect with writers and authors. Like, I get a couple of web design type magazines, I look at the author, and then I look them up on LinkedIn, and sure enough, they're there. And I connect with them, and I say, hey, look, really nice article about how to do such and such. Would you mind being, you know, my connection? And 9 times out of 10, they say yes. Which is good for me. Why? People see that. Plus, by connecting to someone else, I've now got access to their network. Okay? Because when you do a search in LinkedIn, you're limited to your third level connection. So the more people you connect to, the greater your reach. Now, when I started on LinkedIn, I could probably search through 100 people. Today, I've got access to over 12.5 million people when I do a search for something specific because of my connection.
Just on that point, you're saying that whatever you publish, anyone can see.
Yep.
So how does that...
You can turn it off to, you can say only my network, you can say only my group of people I've directly connected to can see my information, or you can leave it open. What's your concern?
Oh, that's okay. So anyone can search or anyone else on LinkedIn, but then you're saying you can't search on LinkedIn.
Correct. You can search down to 3 levels, and at the 3rd level you'll get a first name, an initial, and probably a position, and that's about it. So, yeah, and that's why, from my point of view, it's important to connect to as many people, well-connected people as possible, to spread your reach and how far you can search. Join groups and connect with their members. So if you're interested in, you know, web design in Brisbane, there's, guess what, there's probably 3 or 4 groups for it. So join those groups, listen to the conversation, contribute to the conversation, and then start connecting to people to expand your network. Ask yourself, what groups would my prospects be members of? And then join those. Don't worry too much about the groups that your competitors are members of. It's more important to join groups that your prospects are members of. And start joining the conversation. Now, there's a bunch of people on LinkedIn called Lions. And Lions stands for LinkedIn Open Networker. These are people who will connect to anyone, like me. If you're trying to grow your base quickly, find the Lions and connect to them. Because these people are connected to other Lions who are connected to hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. This is why I've got access to over 12.5 million people on LinkedIn, because I've connected to a whole bunch of Lions. And it's pretty easy to find Lions. I'm just going to the search facility. I'll just show you how powerful the search stuff is. The way I find Lions is I just put Lion in the last name.
I select my geography, where do I want to go? Canada. So I'm already connected to this person because it's got a first. Okay, Katie McLeod, she's a lion. See how they've got lion brackets in their surname? That's so you can find them and connect to them. If I want to connect to her, I'll just say add to network. Dr. Pat O'Leary, PhD. Yeah, I need some more PhDs, so I'll add him to my network. I'm Toronto, add to network. So I'm just center clicking here, groups. Now these people are probably already members of similar groups to me.
But you choose those groups. My question is, often I find people that I want to connect with, and I like friends, we have done business together, I don't know them.
Okay, so find what group they're members of, join,
okay.
And then stalk them, sorry, then connect with them, because now you've got something in common.
Okay.
The whole rule of LinkedIn is you have to have something in common.
Yes.
You either have to know them, have worked with them, or be a group member. Groups, okay, line, yeah. Now I've probably just expanded my network by about 5,000 people. Just with those three connections. Which means when I do a search for something, say I'm looking for, psychologist. Psychologist current within 15 kilometres of New Farm. Let's have a look. There we go. And there's a number of things I can now do. I can choose to connect with them and come up with some pretext for connecting. I can get their details, email address, look up their website to get their postal address and put them into some sort of database. I can see what groups they're members of and join those groups. There's lots of ways you can connect and then market them. And this is why it's so important that you connect widely. So you can do a search like that and see the target market that you're after. If you've only got three or four people connected to, you're not going to have as broad a reach. Let's have a look at Trish Gibson. I'm not marketing yet. I'm just connecting with people. The marketing comes next.
Quickly, the line. Can you put that in your actual surname?
Yes. So, John, hacking space, bracket, line, close bracket. Yes. And other lines will look for you and connect. Once you get to probably 500 connections, other people will start stalking you to get access to your network. And you just get, yes. So what do I know about Trish? She's a psychologist, corporate trainer, personal website, future trends. Yeah, so I'll get a bit of a background on her. So that's how you hunt lines and that's how you connect with them. And you can do it andronically. If you know someone by name, you just look up their first name, last name, find them, and connect. Okay, we've just gone through the search. Okay, so what? You've joined LinkedIn, you've got all these connections, and you've got access to millions and millions of people. What next? You can subtly market through your status updates and participation in groups. For example, this morning I could have gone on and done a status update. Today I'm doing a presentation about LinkedIn marketing. It'll be at New Farm. It should be Farm. We've got 70 people coming, all sorts of industries, and if you want more information, here's the website. So, it's talking about what I'm doing, but at the same time also semi-promoting an event. I could have also put that event in the event option. Here we are, contacts, events. Now, promoting events is free. You just fill in the form. Oh, here we go. Here's one, an event I'm promoting, 29th of June. Few details. Okay? That's free. So people looking for a specific event can go under the events tab, do a search on whatever topic they're looking for, and find a list of events. So the trick is to look for free events in Brisbane that have food. Status update, positioning, participation groups, event announcements, email marketing from contacts list. This, look, A lot of people say email marketing is dead. I don't believe it in a heartbeat. Email marketing is alive and well if it's good email marketing, if it's specifically addressed, if it's customised, if it reaches the right target market. And LinkedIn can help you do that. So, for example, let's say I'm the sales manager for a logistics company in Papua New Guinea. My target market, people in Papua New Guinea, who are in the mining industry. I join a PNG group that's all about mining. I, over a period of weeks, connect with all the members of that group. Guess what? I've now got a database of people that is worth gold. I can either send them an email, I can look up their contact details, send them a snail mail. I've got a very specific target market that I'm trying to reach.
Do you get a lot of crap that you don't, you're interested in?
No, I don't. In your profile settings, you can turn off all the emails that you get, like status updates you don't want because you're going to get 400 a day. Turn that off. Group announcements, depending on the group, you may want to turn that off. I get very, very little spam. Very little spam. I'll probably get one a month. I send more spam than I receive, put it that way.
And it's impossible to go off the mailing list I've been trying for 2 years.
No, that's not true, Matthew. Yeah, so look, email marketing using LinkedIn as the source of the data is gold, and it's free. All it takes is a bit of time. I only spend like 2 hours a week on LinkedIn. It's gold. And I'll actually show you how easy it is to export your contacts from LinkedIn.
So you can take your contacts from LinkedIn and send them anything about LinkedIn, and that can be actually through your LinkedIn.
That's right, and that's the secret.
Yeah.
Take it out of LinkedIn, put it in some other mail, like I use MailChimp, Constant Contact, Outlook, whatever, import it, and then distribute it to something else. The trick with using LinkedIn contacts as a mailing list is mention the fact that you know them from LinkedIn. And I'll show you a little experiment in 2 minutes. So I'm going into my contacts, or my connections, and I'm going to create a database. So here's all my connections. Now, they hide this. Right down the bottom right is this little thing called Export Connections. I'll make it, yeah, Microsoft Outlook. I'll put in my key, T9KY8. So these get harder each year. Okay. So that's it. I've actually exported that. And when the file finishes downloading, here we go. So I can take this file, whack it straight into Outlook, whack it straight into MailChimp, Constant Contact, whatever mail system you use, and then start emailing people. Now I think basically all I get is first name, last name, email address, title and company, which ain't bad to start with, is it? For free. Okay, you can also build a snail mail marketing list by looking up their website address. You can also run polls and surveys. There's little like widgets or plugins for LinkedIn where you can have polls. I haven't found them to be too successful. It depends on the group that you're members of and what questions you're asking. It's all about connecting and keeping in contact. Now, the crazy thing is, when you do this, you might be, I don't know, I'll talk about the case study in a moment. Okay, so last week I did this experiment. I took 1,800 people out of my LinkedIn account and I sent them an email saying, hey, look, I'm doing this social media marketing experiment. What I want you to do is go to this website, give me a Facebook like in exchange for a free link to your website. Pretty straightforward. It was a personalised email, so it had their first name in the subject and the opening. The offer was a free link in return for a Facebook like. Now, it's pretty hard to see those stats. From the 1,800 emails I sent out, that day I got 400 extra website visitors. And I took my shoes off and worked out that that was a 22% response rate. which is pretty damn awesome in any direct marketing textbook. 22% of the people I emailed that day did something. I wasn't selling anything. I got 140 Facebook likes. That's what I asked them to do. Now, what was it, over 100 people? Most people on Facebook have 100 other connections?
140.
Okay, so let's just say 100. So that 140 Facebook likes would have converted to 14,000 new potential contacts. So this is the social media thing happening, where you get a like and that like gets spread out to your group, and as a result, you actually get more visitors. As a result of the email, I got some free content for the website. I also got a sponsorship deal. Someone liked the website and said, look, John, we can't give you money, but in exchange for this, can you do this? And I said, sure. I also got residual Facebook. Now, this graph shows on that day I got 442 visitors, and over the following days, it petered off. Now, the base rate before I did the experiment was like maybe 15, 20 visitors a day. That's gone up to about 50 unique visitors a day since I did the experiment last Tuesday. So this stuff works. That's the email I sent. Customised, mentioned LinkedIn, photo, consistent with the photo on LinkedIn, 22% response rate. LinkedIn advertising. As I mentioned up front, laser light. Segmentation. I'll actually, rather than talk about it, I'll do it. So, I'm going to create an ad. Who should we target? Female architects in Brisbane. Let's go for it. Okay, I've got a couple of campaigns running there. I'm going to start a new campaign. I'll call it female. I'll send them to a web page. Now, this is the secret. Customise your copy for the market you're trying to reach. So if you're trying to reach female architects in Brisbane, guess what? You should probably mention female architects in Brisbane somewhere in the copy, so that calls out to them when their eye scans that page in a quarter of a second. SEO for... Why do I pick architects? I'll say builders. Bigger market. Okay. Now, you can add an image. I'm not going to. Trick of the images, use a head. Because that's what people expect. If you put a logo or whatever, it just gets lost. Put a face. Okay, next step. So I've got my copy, I've got my headline, I've got a photo. This is the magic. This is where you start to specify where you want to do it. I want to select Australia. You can actually specify company. So if I'm going to be targeting product managers at Suncorp, I can actually specify Suncorp as the company and have a very custom, you know, do you like working for Fred Smith? Isn't he a bastard? And only people at Suncorp will see that ad. Categories of companies. Industry, building, let's say construction, Job title, I'll leave that. Group, gender, I'll say. So it's suggesting a cost per click. You can either buy 1,000 impressions or cost per click. I always go with cost per click because I'm that way. I always pitch my bid at 80% of the recommended. So let's say $2.98. I'm a big spender, so I'll make it $10 a day. I'm going to run it forever. That's it. Done. So I have set up a very specific ad for a certain target market, and I've limited my budget.